Welcome to Blind Peg, the wrestling show for people who don't watch wrestling. I'm your co-host, Ron Del Villano.
And I'm your co-host, Matt Raddick.
So normally I have a hilarious bit prepared for the beginning of the show, something absolutely hilarious.
Yes.
This week I had nothing. Matt and I have been sitting here for at least 10 minutes trying to think of a good intro. And I
really sowing the seeds for a great episode here.
In a desperate attempt, I just Googled funny wrestling news to just maybe steal someone else's joke.
Yeah, sure. And what you got?
Well, just the I typed in funny wrestling news, hit enter, and then I thought that has to be it. Just the fact that I've stooped so low that I had to Google funny wrestling news to even try to get a bit going.
Haven't even made it a full year of episodes, and we're already stooping to just Googling good jokes.
Goodjokes.com.
Goodjokes.com.
I did come across kayfabenews.com, though, which is a website I didn't know existed.
Mm-hmm. I'm familiar with
You're familiar. It's basically I guess the Hard Times for wrestling.
Yeah.
Or
The Onion.
The Onion for wrestling. Yeah. And
the Hard Times is also a fairly obscure reference, I feel like.
Well, the top article here is WWE announces historic all-men lingerie pillow fight.
Oh, yes.
And so if that is the caliber of comedy coming out of kayfabenews.com.
This is an incredible Photoshop here.
Yeah. I'm just saying, even when I couldn't come up with a joke, I think me Googling funny wrestling news is funnier than what this article could possibly be.
Now hold on. I think this is a comedy well we can dive down here. There's some good material here.
Did you open the article?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay, did you see the Randy Orton Photoshop?
Yeah. The image at the top of this article is basically just a series of WWE wrestlers, WWE male superstars with some go ahead and say pretty well photoshopped on lingerie. So we've got Randy Orton wearing a sort of, it's got kind of a Christmas vibe.
It's like a sexy Mrs. Claus.
It's like a sexy Mrs. Claus thing. Brock Lesnar's just got like a standard sort of black lacy thing going on. AJ Styles wearing a red lacy thing. And Sami Zayn is wearing some type of bra thing that I feel like is, I don't know how to describe it. It's got a lot of extra straps.
You're really good at words this evening.
Really good at the words. Good thing I have a successful podcast. But who do you think would win in a, now are you, I guess I should first say, are you familiar with the lingerie matches that have happened throughout WWE?
They exist, that lingerie pillow fights exist because everything is horrible.
Yes.
Why don't you go, is there like a specific rule set though?
Oh, yes.
Oh, God. Yes. Yep. No, I don't know what it is. Please enlighten me.
A bra and panties match, which I think is...
Oh, yeah. Didn't Playboy sponsor these some of them?
There was a big connection there. Basically, the whole point of a bra and panties match is that two women enter, and the first one to be stripped down to their bra and panties is the winner, or is the loser. The person that does the stripping is the winner.
Okay.
So to that end, I wonder who you think might be good at a men's bra and panties match, and who would be a particularly good fighter here? Because I think it's a sort of a different set of skills, you know.
Sami Zayn.
What makes you say that? Is it just the allure of that photograph, or
I think just Sami Zayn is. Who do you think would be?
You know, I think you think about who's dominant in wrestling these days. You got guys like John Cena. You got guys like Brock Lesnar. You got guys like Randy Orton. But like those guys are, they're used to not wearing a lot of clothing while they're wrestling.
Sure.
I think of them. You know, John Cena wears those cargo shorts, so he's probably got the most clothing on. At the same time, he also basically starts every match by taking off some clothing.
Oh, so you think he's good at stripping down?
Well,
is he good at stripping another man though?
That's the thing, is I think he's so used to taking off his own clothes that if he had to take off another person's clothes, he would just be sort of lost and completely incapable of figuring out how to do it. So I think it's got to be someone that generally wears a little bit more clothing when they're wrestling.
Like Sami Zayn. He wrestles like a hoodie and pants and shoes and
stuff. Well, I mean, he wrestles in just the pants and shoes. He wears the hoodie down to the ring. I think my initial thought is Kane. Because Kane kind of wears a lot of clothing.
He does wear a lot. He's got a lot to cover up.
He does have a lot to cover up. I feel like there's probably other wrestlers that wear a lot of clothing.
Do you know who wears a lot of clothing?
Who's that?
This is going to tie us into something I actually want to talk about.
Good.
Goldust.
Get us out of here. Goldust, yes. Actually, I think Goldust, given his history too, would be quite skillful at this match. He would probably be able to just allure someone into just like taking off their own clothes just through his own sort of natural or maybe supernatural sensuality.
I got to talk about Goldust.
Okay, let's talk about Goldust.
So there was a... Did you watch any of the 205 Live stuff this week?
I watched clips. It was cut out of the Hulu version, okay.
In short, was it Rich Swann? Is he...
No, not Rich Swann.
Okay.
Rich Swann was recently arrested for domestic violence.
No.
Yeah. So he is... he was...
What?
I think indefinitely suspended from the WWE.
I would hope so.
Yeah. So this is actually like... The whole, I don't know, how we got here is actually a little bit interesting, because what happened was Rich Swann and Enzo Amore were scheduled to have a WWE Cruiserweight Championship match. Rich Swann got arrested and removed from the WWE roster, and then they had like another couple of like fatal four ways or something like that to figure out who the new number one contender would be. I don't know how they actually wrote this out in the storyline, but basically they were like, due to unforeseen circumstances, Rich Swann cannot compete. Anyway, Cedric Alexander ended up winning that and became the new number one contender.
Sure, okay.
Then Enzo got some kind of crazy flu thing going on, so he had to be hospitalized. So the match that he was supposed to have against Cedric Alexander had also be pushed back. And so they were like, well, we got to keep building heat for Cedric Alexander, so let's just go ahead and put him in a tag match with some of Enzo's cronies, and let's give him a partner. And Goldust, sure, why not? So that's how Goldust ended up in a 205 Live match.
I want to make it clear
yeah.
that I didn't confuse Cedric Alexander and Rich Swann because I'm a racist or ignorant in any way.
Sounds like you might be.
I did it because I don't care about who any of these guys are.
Yes. Okay,
and
cool.
Especially 205 Live, I cannot keep them straight for the most part.
That's fair. I have no idea who Cedric Alexander wrestled against in this match. I think it was Drew Gulak and maybe Arya Daivari, but
since,
I have no idea.
Since we began this bit, I have forgotten Cedric Alexander's name about three times.
It's not the most memorable name. It's no Goldust.
Anyway, Goldust comes out to fight with Cedric Alexander.
Yes.
And the first thing I noticed and said to my partner is that Goldust is looking a little rough.
Yeah.
He's
on the older side.
He just looks like an old man in a onesie right now.
I mean, he's kind of a little old
exactly
man in
that.
A onesie.
Yeah, and then as the match went on, there were some zoom-ins on his
his
derriere.
His fanny.
And on his genitals and things like that. And there's just a lot of outlines for Gold Dust.
Yeah, a lot of things to behold. We shared a picture of that because you were so flabbergasted.
I was so enamored.
Yeah, so enamored with what you saw. Goldust is a real character. I mean, he's definitely a little bit on the older side. I'm trying to look up his actual age. He is 48 years old. So yeah, he's kind of an old man in a onesie.
For wrestling.
For wrestling, yeah. Are you familiar with Goldust's sort of lineage?
He's a road, correct?
He's a road, yes.
Okay.
He's Dustin Rhodes.
Dustin Rhodes.
Named
after his father's character, Dusty Rhodes?
Yeah, well, okay, his actual last name is Runnels. I messed up.
Wait.
His real name is Dustin Runnels.
Runnels.
Dustin Runnels.
Okay.
But yeah, his dad is Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, and his half-brother is Cody Rhodes, star of... New Japan and
the American Nightmare.
The American Nightmare.
He was a former WWE superstar, though.
Yes, he was. I am long.
And who was he?
Who was he in WWE?
Yes.
He was just Cody Rhodes. Actually, it's kind of interesting because WWE claims copyright to the name Rhodes. So in any like official like billing of Cody Rhodes in like New Japan or Ring of Honor, he's listed simply as Cody.
Cody, yeah. Who is Stardust?
Stardust was a character that Cody Rhodes was playing for a while. And it was really, really, it was a feud that never got the time that it deserved because it was super, super interesting. They had this thing where basically Cody just kind of went crazy and started like trying to act like his brother. And part of it was like, he was like, I'm not getting the booking that I deserve. And like, I need to be get more attention. This is all like sort of in kayfabe.
So he became Stardust
to try and get that, to try and become like a sort of larger than life character. Then he teamed up with his brother for a while. And what was really fun is like crowds would chant Cody at him and stuff like that. And he would just like lose his mind. And he would just like start screaming at the crowd and be like, that's not me. I don't know who that is. It was this whole like sort of thing. He also like really, really hammed up the character. Like, he was like, I am from another galaxy, and, like, would refer to, like, how, you know...
Is that Goldust's gimmick? Is that he's an alien?
No, I don't think so. I mean, he's, like, sort of had, I think, somewhat supernatural powers at, like, various points. Not so much anymore. Now he's just kind of, like, a guy that wears gold paint.
Sure.
But Stardust was, like, definitely that thing.
My actual thoughts and feelings towards Goldust, mm-hmm. watching him in this match, outside of he's looking kind of soft in that singlet, in that one piece uniform, is that we've talked about Bray being like part of like the wrestling old guard, even though he's a younger guy. Like his gimmick doesn't really fit in.
Oh yeah,
because he's like this mystical guy, and he's not just like mm-hmm. a wrestler.
Also a multi-generational wrestler, which is another thing he has in common with Goldust.
Bray is?
Yeah, his dad wrestled in WWE and his grandfather as well.
I thought you meant him himself.
Oh, no.
the thing that I watching Goldust, I just felt like he was the last guy there. Like, when your friend group moves out of a city and you're the last one there, and then, like, the friend group is now just a bunch of younger people and stuff like that, and, like, you're still around, and you just get that feeling, like, I should probably go, too, now.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I felt about Goldust, and it was just kind of like... Maybe it's time to go,
Maybe it's
Goldie.
Time to hang it up. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, I think, because, like...
Your friends aren't here anymore. Like, nobody's here to see you.
Yeah, well,
like,
it's like,
cool that it's cool that you're here. People aren't, like, upset about it, but you just don't really... You don't really fit in anymore.
He's a real townie.
Exactly.
I mean, it's interesting, because, like, his younger brother, you know, like, they both had been plodding away in WWE for a while, Goldust much longer than Cody had, and it's like, Goldust was never really, like, a huge main eventer. He was, like, certainly bigger in, like, the 80s and 90s than he was, you know, than he is now.
Sure.
And it was, like, this whole thing, the whole thing with, like, Cody leaving WWE is that, like, he and Goldust had this feud that was, like, working really, really well and, like, really deserved, like, a sort of big payoff at a WrestleMania or something like that. And it just never really came to fruition. And, like, many fans were, like, we want to see this story be told all the way. And, like, it just, like, never ended up happening. And so Cody eventually just got, like, fed up with it and was, like, I'm going to leave. I'm going to move to the I don't know, bright lights in big cities of Tokyo, Japan and things like that. And like, try and make wrestling happen for me elsewhere, make my career happen elsewhere. And it's like...
We're getting real here.
For a silly
Sometimes we
podcast.
Get real and raw
Sometimes
here on
we get
Blind
real and
Tag.
Raw.
Today, though, not so much.
No.
speaking of Raw, do you want to do that?
Speaking of Raw, yeah, that's a good segue.
Enjoy
right?
your transition.
Yeah. Yeah, it was an interesting little... There's been some interesting things going on Raw as of late. I think the thing that was probably, like, the biggest headline grabber of this week was the club finally being reunited.
Yeah, tell me about these guys. I feel like we've talked about them before, but I feel like underwhelmed because I didn't have this connection.
So you've heard of Finn Balor, right?
Which one is that?
He is the very handsome one, the extremely handsome one. He's got lots of abs. He's got a club.
Oh, sure. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Finn Balor, he was formerly the leader of the Bullet Club in New Japan. And Gallows and Anderson were basically his, like, right-hand men when he was the leader of that. So Gallows and Anderson came over to WWE, I think, before Finn did. And then, like, once Finn came over, like, immediately people were like, oh, man, are we going to get a club, you know? Is the Bullet Club ever going to get reunited on?
How long ago was this?
Oh, boy. Quite a while ago. I mean, Finn got called up to the main roster, I think, 2 years ago. And then was, like, gone for a year and then came back and hasn't really done much. But Gallows and Anderson, I think, had been on for a couple years before that. I think Luke Gallows actually had a stint with WWE before and then left and did New Japan and kind of got more successful there, all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's been a couple years that they've all been sort of in the same place. They've all been on Raw and theoretically could reunite. But this is, like, the first time. They've done a couple things. Like, I think Karl Anderson and Finn Balor had a match against each other a little while ago. And they've done, like, a couple little, like, teases at it, but this is the first time that three of them have been a tag team together since they've all been in the same place. So it was kind of a big deal.
There were some too sweet jokes in there.
Lots of too sweet jokes.
Too sweet head.
They also just looked so happy, which was really, really nice.
Yeah, they seemed like they were having
that.
A good time.
Yeah. That was, it was nice. It was a nice touch.
It was nice to see the wrestlers having fun for once.
Yeah, you know, finally. Yeah, it was cool. I couldn't help but wonder if that was like, if this was all happening though because Wrestle Kingdom is happening this weekend as well. I think just wrapped up sometime this morning, actually, because it started, taking place in Japan, and so it started at like 11 o'clock Pacific time, and then like, I don't know, went for a few hours, ended in the middle of the night at some point or something like that. I didn't stay up and watch it. I'm not that cool. It definitely felt sort of ominous that they were like, oh, we're going to do like a major kind of call over to New Japan in the middle of New Japan's biggest week of the year.
Is this Wrestle Kingdom event, is this also where Jericho is fighting?
Yeah, it is.
And is he still contracted to WWE?
Wow. The plot thickens. I totally did not think of this. Because, like, when we talked
really?
About...
Really?
Yeah, totally. Wow. So,
well, I thought you were going with, like, yeah, WWE wants to promote that one of their wrestlers is on this thing, so they're going to do New Japan-y kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, WWE made no mention of Wrestle Kingdom whatsoever. I mean, they wouldn't even say the Bullet Club on...
Yeah, no, I know. On WWE. But they did the Too Sweet stuff, and they had these three guys reuniting.
Right. Well, Too Sweet is actually WWE.
We've talked about this.
But yeah, so I remember when we first found out about Jericho and Omega having their match, like we had wondered if there was going to be any sort of tie-in between WWE and New Japan, because like Jericho has always been a WWE guy. He is certainly under some kind of contract with WWE still. I mean, they released a new Christmas sweater for him this year. So he's certainly like somehow on the payroll or something like that. There was a lot of speculation that he probably had to like ask permission from Vince before like being able to do this kind of thing. Nobody really knows if that's true or not, but it makes you wonder if there was some kind of like trade kind of going on of like, you get Jericho for this and we get Omega for this or something like that. Or maybe like this is the last thing that like, you know, Omega's going to do before signing with WWE or something like that.
Do you know who won the match?
I don't. I have not watched
I do.
It yet. You do.
Do you want to know?
Yes, I guess. Who won?
Kenny Omega.
Okay, that doesn't surprise me.
I guess not.
I mean, he's the better wrestler, for sure. But it's also like, Jericho, this is a one-night-only kind of thing, right? So it's like, he's not going to... It makes no sense for Omega to lose because the feud goes nowhere. Like,
yeah, I bet it was a pretty good show, though.
I bet it was. I heard it was a great match. Yeah, I've heard basically nothing but good things about Wrestle Kingdom. I'm going to try and watch some of it this weekend, but... Maybe I'll have some news to report next week.
Uh-oh. Breaking news from last week.
Kenny
Omega
beats
Chris Jericho.
It'll be like last week tonight. Like, I'll just share all the wrestling news of the last week that you've already heard about and already know about. At least it won't be like a spoiler, you know?
Nah, sorry. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry if I spoiled that for you.
I mean, it's on the internet now.
Yeah.
People aren't going to hear this till Monday if they haven't found out by then.
I mean, I Googled Jericho Omega, and literally the first thing, like, it wasn't even like, click here to see the results. Yeah. It was just like, here's
Omega
what happened.
Omega beats Jericho in sick-ass match or something like that. Yeah. The other thing that's been interesting on Raw as of late, not as of late because it's continued to be so, but has been the stuff with the Shield. And did you see that Jason Jordan is now a sort of member of the Shield and a tag team champion?
Yeah, he's being kind of a dick.
Well, that's sort of a standard thing.
Was my key takeaway.
Yeah, I'm really confused.
He's
about
being a big baby.
Yeah,
and a big old weenie.
I'm really confused about what they're doing with his character. I just can't tell exactly what they're trying to hit on. I don't know if it's supposed to be I can't tell if he's supposed to be a heel or not. I can't tell if we're supposed to not like him or not.
Well, so he's technically...
People definitely don't like him.
Right.
It's just a matter of if they're supposed to.
He's technically teamed up with Seth Rollins right now. He shares the tag team championship with Seth Rollins.
He's a co-tag team
champion, yes. And he was kind of egging, who was it, Cesaro on?
Yes.
Jason Jordan was egging Cesaro on this past week.
So basically what happened was Kurt Angle kicked off the show. He was talking about the Royal Rumble, and for some reason, Cesaro and Sheamus needed to butt into that. So they came out and said, you know, we never should have lost the tag team championships. You were playing favoritism by letting Jason Jordan into that match, yada, yada, yada. Jason Jordan comes out to defend his dad, starts sniping at Cesaro and making little comments and things like that. And that basically led to a match between Cesaro and Jason Jordan.
Yeah, but before that, Seth Rollins came out and was like, hey, dude, I'm going to be here at ringside, but you got to cut this shit out.
Yeah,
like, right. You're embarrassing yourself. You're going to ruin it for me. You're going to lose it for me. And, like, you got to think of us as a unit.
Yeah, right. Which was, I mean, that's, like, the most interesting part of it to me is, like, this weird sort of tension of, like, they are unexpected champions, both, like, to the fan and also, like, in their characters. They didn't really expect to be teamed up, and they didn't really expect to become champions as such. And it's like Seth is, like, unsure what to make of this guy, but it's like it's almost like Jason Jordan is kind of proving himself to him, which is, like, if that's what they're trying... If that's the long play of, like, if they're trying to get Jason Jordan over by, like, teaming him up with Seth Rollins and, like, oh, if, like, Jason Jordan in character impresses Seth Rollins, then, you know, we can, then the fans therefore will be also impressed by Jason Jordan. I don't know if that's a good storyline, but, like, I don't know. I like this idea of, like, they're getting, like, he's getting, you know, favors told, given to him, and, you know, his dad is playing favorites with him and all that kind of stuff. That's, like, more compelling. And then, like,
yeah,
Seth eventually getting kind of sick of it and Roman getting kind of sick of it. Like, that could be an interesting
story. Yeah, I could definitely see that. I don't like his character right now because he's not really doing anything.
Yeah,
he's just,
right.
He's kind of being a whiny baby.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, again, the fans definitely don't like what the character is doing. I just don't know if, like, that's supposed to be happening. Like, I haven't understood how much he's supposed to be like, oh, yeah, I'm actually whining, and how much it's like, oh, yeah, no, he's just, like, trying to get what he deserves. This is, like, also kind of my question about what's going on with SmackDown right now. I think that with the main event feud thing going on with SmackDown, with Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, and sort of AJ Styles, I think that the interesting thing there is that it's not a clear sort of black and white scenario in which, you know, Shane is the bad guy and Daniel Bryan is the good guy, or Daniel Bryan is the bad guy and Shane McMahon is the good guy. There's a lot of sort of, like, gray area.
They've
there
gotta
to
be building up towards a match between Daniel and Shane.
That's like the,
it has to be. It's the only thing that makes sense.
Well, oh yeah, absolutely. It's the only payoff that makes sense. But I mean, the question is like whether or not they're actually going to do that. Cause it's whether or not they're actually going to clear Daniel.
Right.
And, like, there's been a lot of, like, scuttlebutt flying around about that. Like, I saw just a headline the other day that said that, you know, Daniel Bryan should have an answer about whether or not he can wrestle for WWE by WrestleMania.
Uh-oh.
But it's like, if they build towards this feud only to find out that, like, he can't do it and he walks away. Like,
yeah, they're putting a lot on the line.
What the hell? Yeah,
they're really risking their storyline.
That's the thing to me is it really feels like they're playing with fire here, because I think that people are going to be, like, really pissed if, like, the payoff is, like, you know, Shane McMahon versus Sami Zayn as Daniel Bryan's surrogate. Like, that's, I mean, I don't really want to see Daniel Bryan versus Shane McMahon, but, like, I do want to see Daniel Bryan wrestle another match.
Did you see that WWE Shop has released the Yep, Yep, Yep shirt?
I did. I'm waiting for the right sale to hit, but yeah. That shirt and the Rusev Day shirt are going to very quickly become possessions that I own.
Very good.
It's very great.
If we're going to move on to SmackDown, I do want to touch on one more Raw thing.
Yeah, totally.
I have a theory about Bray Wyatt.
Ooh, interesting.
So this week Bray was fighting Apollo Crews.
Yeah.
And for no reason, apparently.
Yeah, just needed someone to beat up.
Yeah, and after the match, then Woken Matt Hardy interrupted whatever was going on,
yeah,
and with
right.
a very silly video. Did you see that one?
I didn't, actually. This was somehow stricken from the Hulu cut, which I think goes to show how much of a priority WWE thinks this is. But I saw some pictures of it. Didn't he just do like a sort of, like, he did one face of him laughing and then four faces of him laughing and then nine faces and so on and
like
so forth?
64.
Yeah.
It was
just this
pretty
expanding
funny.
Grid of Matt Hardy laughing.
Yeah. Bray's reaction to all this, though, is he just keeps looking confused rather than, like, scared or angry. He kind of looks at the screen like, this guy.
Yeah, right.
I
mean, it's not scary.
No.
Nothing.
But it's supposed to be threatening. Well,
right, it's like an intimidation
He
tactic.
Said things as well before laughed. My theory, though, is if they're going to have this big fight between Bray as Sister Abigail, potentially, and Woken Matt Hardy, I'm really hoping that they are finally going to legitimize Bray Wyatt by having him lose to Matt Hardy and be
stricken of his supernatural powers.
Oh, interesting.
So then he's just a regular-ass guy who's really good at fighting. Mm. They get rid of the dreadlocks. They get rid of the spookiness.
God, I would love if he lost his dreadlocks.
And then he's just, like, an actual contender as a WWE superstar.
He just becomes Husky Harris once again.
Sure. I know that is his former name.
That is his former identity. No, that's really interesting.
I don't think that's what's happening.
I don't
but
either.
But I would like to see that happen.
But it's a very good idea because, I mean, I feel like we've mentioned that WWE has sort of like painted themselves into a corner by having this be the only supernatural character that exists in the world.
Right,
WWE,
yeah.
Basically. And it's like he continues to have these feuds that really don't go anywhere because like it just doesn't really make sense for him to win. It also doesn't make sense for him to lose, but that's another story. But yeah, like this is, but it's also like this is the only sort of supernatural way in which they could remove that character from him because they could say, you know, Woken Matt Hardy contacted the seven deities and had them stricken or the seven deities murdered Sister Abigail or I don't know. So
however that
did
works.
Something, put her soul in a crystal and then pooped on the crystal or something like that. I don't know. Some they could find some magic mumbo jumbo to make it work. Here's what's going to happen. The seven deities are going to capture the spirit of Sister Abigail into a blade of grass. And then that blade of grass will be planted at the Hardy complex, and then Senior Benjamin will mow it down with his lawnmower.
The seven deities are going to capture the head of Sister Abigail and put it in a box at the end of the movie, and Brad Pitt's going to be there saying, "What's in the box? And what's in the box?"
Precisely. And then Bray Wyatt's going to come up and be like, "What? Oh, that's what's in the box." And he's going to be very concerned. And then Brad Pitt will shoot him, and then he'll be reborn as just a regular old guy. So there will still be sort of a supernatural element to it.
Maybe
it'll be a flesh wound.
It'll turn out that the seven deities or whatever took Sister Abigail and they had her living in a village that was actually just outside of real life time the entire time.
It'll turn out that that Bray Wyatt's been seeing Sister Abigail. Wait, hold on. Sister Abigail's been seeing Brad Pitt. No, wait, hold on. Sister Abigail has been seeing Bray Wyatt and talking to Bray Wyatt. And then finally it's going to be revealed that Sister Abigail can see dead people. And then that means that Bray Wyatt has been dead all along.
I think in the end, the seven deities are actually going to have Sister Abigail show up and explain that Bray Wyatt couldn't be injured, but he needed to set up the train crash so that Sister Abigail could reveal that it's because of the kids, Bray. They called me Mr. Glass.
Anyway, should we move on to SmackDown now?
Let's move on to SmackDown.
Okay. I don't know if I don't know if you have any thoughts on this main event feud. Like, I feel like for a long time, I've wanted feuds like.
The main event being Kevin Owens and Sammy versus Shane versus AJ maybe versus Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. I was reading some stuff on Up Rocks and they were talking about how you know this feud has arguably three of WWE's best wrestlers right now, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, and AJ Styles. And somehow those three are the least important part of this feud. And AJ Styles, the best wrestler in WWE right now, is the least important part of this feud.
Oh, yeah, and he's just there as the guy with the title.
A weird surrogate. But to bring folks up to speed to what happened, last week Kevin Owens had a match against AJ Styles. He won by somewhat underhanded techniques. So this week, Shane McMahon declared that he was going to be at ringside to make sure that nothing bad would happen. Then Daniel Bryan said that he was going to be at ringside to make sure nothing bad happened on Shane's part. And then also that Kevin Owens could be at ringside while Sami Zayn had a match against AJ Styles.
There was a lot going on.
There was a lot going on. And it was a lot of nonsense. Anyway, this match happens. It's AJ Styles versus Sami Zayn. But there's all this other mumbo jumbo going on outside of the ring. The match ends again with Kevin Owens sort of interfering and allowing Sami Zayn to get the win.
I noticed this was like almost exactly the same as how Sammy won the week before. Kevin won the week before.
Yeah,
there was even the like roll up in a pin and then the ref was distracted and then AJ gets kicked in the face like in both matches.
Yeah.
And then eventually gets pinned.
An optimist would say that that's a callback. A pessimist.
To a week before?
A pessimist would say that that's just lazy booking and lazy writing.
I don't know if it's lazy. I don't know that I would call it a callback, but it's definitely like, I thought it was kind of cool because it was like reflective of like, this is the thing that
they're
happened last
the
time.
Same tactic.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it is something to say that like the character is trying and the characters are trying to do the same thing over and over again and finding some success in it, giving them a reason to, you know, continue to call back to those tactics. But I mean, I don't know if you feel this way. I think that the heels are supposed to be Sammy and Kevin and Daniel Bryan, but I think that like Shane is doing the more shitty stuff to me.
Oh, absolutely.
In my opinion. And so, like, I don't know. I mean, do you read the situation the same way in that, like, I mean, I think it's pretty clear that Sammy and Kevin are supposed to be the heels, right?
Sammy and Kevin are being troublemakers, but yes. To what end? What is their goal here?
That's a good point. I mean, I think it's ultimately, like, they feel like Shane McMahon has been giving them the short end of the stick and that they haven't been given the opportunities that should be afforded to them. I mean, I guess, yeah, that's why Sami Zayn ended up turning heel and working with Kevin in the first place is because he felt like
he wanted to take the opportunities.
Exactly. He wanted to seize the opportunities that he felt Shane had been keeping him from. You know, he talked about how like he was on Raw and he wasn't really getting utilized. And then he went to SmackDown and he thought he would get, you know, a chance at some title matches and things like that, but that never really panned out. And so finally he realized he had to work more like Kevin Owens if he was ever going to get the credibility that he wanted to get, which is a good story. And so they're still, but Shane McMahon is still sort of roadblocking them at every turn, and still not really giving them the opportunities that they feel that they deserve. Which, in my mind, is very true and is very, I mean, in the world of the story, is true and is a very valid thing to be complaining about. Like,
sure.
If my boss was continually not putting me on projects that I wanted to be on, or not giving me opportunities to, like, you know, I don't know, do new things or learn or grow, I would be frustrated with that as well. I probably would not wrestle him, but, you know.
You don't think you'd fight him? You don't think you'd, like, kind of just sabotage this whole company and try to take it over and, like, try to cause a rebellion and things like that?
That's
not how you would handle the situation?
You know, I don't think so, but maybe I should learn from this.
You wouldn't put on your boss's shirt and then... And just lampoon him in the
you
thing
show
that
up
he
in,
says.
A, in a different uniform at work and be like, I'm the captain now.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm the boss now. Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. I just like, so WWE professional wrestling has relied on very, very clear sort of black and white conflict for basically its entire lifetime. You know, like,
sure,
there are very clear good guys, there are very clear bad guys, and we pit them against each other and we root for the good guys and we wish for bad things to happen to the bad guys. This to me is a much more gray area sort of situation, because it's like, I don't necessarily think that anybody, I mean, Kevin and Sammy, I guess, are acting a little bit more underhanded in how they're winning their matches. But, like, their aims, I think, are perfectly valid. And I think that a lot of the things that Shane is doing, like, they're not super great. And so I think it's, like, it's more about, like, fans almost getting to choose sides in this sort of thing. And be like, which sort of side of this cause do you believe in more? Do you side with, like, I guess, the sort of the employer and their
the
sort
man.
Of plight? Do you side with the man? Or do you side with the, you know, the workers and the people that are struggling? Are you part of the bourgeoisie, or are you part of the proletariat? It's really just sort of Marxist struggle that we're seeing played out in a squared circle week in and week out. I love it. It's all I've ever hoped for.
The best part is that that's not entirely a joke or inaccurate.
That's what I'm saying. And I think that is really, really interesting. And that's the kind of like storytelling that, like, I don't know, I think has a lot of potential. I mean, in a lot of respects, it calls back to you know, when Steve Austin was feuding with Mr. McMahon, and Mr. McMahon was the, you know, sort of corporate overlord, and Steve Austin was, like, the guy that finally got to beat up his boss. And, like, a lot of people have talked about that feud as being, like, a thing that really resonated with people, because it was, like, you know, there's a lot of, like, blue-collar workers that watch wrestling that have always wanted to be able to stick it to their boss, but they don't get the chance to do that. And so this is their, like, sort of escapist way of doing that, their way of saying fuck you to their boss when they can't go into their job and say that. And so, like, I think that the thing that's weird about it now is that they're sort of kind of positioning Shane McMahon as the face in this situation, which, like, I don't know.
I'll never believe that.
You don't think that they're trying to book him as the face?
I'm saying I'll never believe that he is the face, right, especially in this situation.
Yeah, right. And I mean, I feel the same way.
That's a hard sell.
Right. But that's what I don't understand is I don't understand why they're trying to position him as such. Because it does feel like they are trying to position him as such. I mean, is that the vibe that you're getting as well?
Yes. Okay. A little bit. Because, I mean, they're definitely positioning Sammy and Kevin as the bad guys. Right. And, like, Daniel as sort of someone who's enabling them.
Mm-hmm.
And... So I mean I don't think the divide is super clear of who is supposed to be what, but yes, yeah. I agree that they're trying to position Shane as the good guy. But for me personally, that is such a hard sell because Shane sucks, and because the boss is not the good guy.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I mean, I think the other thing that further confuses it is like to have Daniel Bryan, who's one of the biggest baby faces of the modern, maybe of all time, but certainly of the modern era of WWE, to have him be working with the heels and kind of doing some heelish things is really weird. And I mean, to that end, the way that they closed the show was definitely like a sort of heel move for Daniel Bryan to take. He made a match for the Royal Rumble, and he said that it was going to be AJ Styles versus Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens a handicap match for the championship, which is wild to me. I don't think I cannot remember.
Yeah, I said obviously AJ wins because how do two people share a single title?
But on the other hand, like if there were any two people to like be champions, like I think that Sami and Kevin are the people to do it, and it would be amazing. I mean, the question is, I guess they could eventually have AJ Styles win it back by like overcoming the odds kind of thing, but like something like that almost like lends itself to like being, you know, Braun Strowman is the person that's going to come and take the championship from them because he's just so big that he can beat two other people, you know, like
are they gonna send Braun to SmackDown though?
No, highly unlikely.
I have another SmackDown question about the other title.
Yes.
And I've been meaning to Google this for about 2 weeks, but I figure it would be better audio to just ask you on the show.
Yes.
What happened to Dolph Ziggler's title? Because they keep saying he voluntarily relinquished it after winning it at whatever pay-per-view happened. Clash of Champions?
Clash of Champions, yes.
He won the U.S. title?
He won the U.S. title. Oh, the United States Championship.
Them.
You got it.
Getting them all. And now he has voluntarily... given up his title.
Yeah. So here's the story. And this all kind of like fell away, I think, to a lot of viewers, myself included, because it all happened over the holidays while we were on our little hiatus, as well as while the sort of world was on a little bit of a hiatus for the holiday season.
Yes.
Anyway, Dolph came out after winning the championship and cut this promo where basically he was like, you know, I've worked my ass off for this company. You don't deserve to see me as a champion, blah, 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 did all this kind of stuff, said I'm walking out. If you remember the Natalya promo from a few weeks ago, where Natalya ended up, like, walking out of the ring after losing that match to Charlotte, it was very similar in tone to that, but Dolph had just won, and so he ended it by laying the championship down in the ring and walking out of the ring and walking out of the building, presumably.
That's insane.
It was wild.
No,
that's okay. Yeah, so the other thing is that then Daniel came out the next week and said, I've been trying to call Dolph. I've been trying to figure out what's going on here. I don't know what's happening. So because I can't get a hold of him, I have to assume that he has done as he said, and he's vacated his title. So we're going to now have a tournament to determine the new United States champion. So that's what's been going on over the past couple of weeks. Is you have this very mini tournament. I think there's 8 people in it overall, having a tournament to see who's going to be the next United States champion.
So Dolph basically said, I don't want this, and left.
Yeah, he basically quit. Which, like, I'm having a hard time believing that that is going to be what's going on, because...
What if he just never comes back? What if he legitimately, like, that wasn't scripted, and they were just like, shit.
Well, that's kind of, like, what I was wondering, is if it was, this was a sort of peacekeeping tactic, and they were like, we know that you're upset. Because I think that Dolph has been genuinely, as a person, upset about what's been going on with his booking over the past couple of years. And I think, like, they're like, we know that you're mad, we're sorry, we're going to try and make this right, we're going to make you the champion and, like, let you have a run with it. But maybe he was just so fed up that he was just like, no, it's too little, too late, I'm out of here. Maybe I'm getting worked here completely, but I think, it's interesting.
That'd be fun. Certainly interesting.
But, yeah, no...
more interesting than the rest of this.
Yeah. What I'm actually predicting will happen is, first of all, what I would like to happen is I would like for Xavier Woods to run the table and end up becoming the United States champion and having the New Day be a co-United States champion, because that's the best idea that's ever happened. But what I think is going to happen is Jinder Mahal is going to beat Xavier Woods, Bobby Roode is going to defeat Mojo Rawley, and then Bobby Roode is going to defeat Jinder Mahal win the championship, and then Dolph's going to, like, make a surprise return and start, you know, kind of restart their Bobby Roode, Dolph Ziggler feud, which was not very compelling to begin with, so.
Yeah, I'm not super into that. I do like the Jinder versus Bobby match, though.
Yeah, I think it should be good. I mean, it's still just weird because they keep trying to make Bobby Roode a face, and he's just not a face. He's
do you know,
a heel.
Do you know what they need to stop doing?
What's that?
Trying to legitimize Aiden English as a wrestler.
Excuse me. How dare you? I love it. It's so good.
All right.
First of all, Aiden English.
First of all, Aiden both sounds and looks like a Muppet.
Okay.
Second.
Be that as it may.
He also looks like he doesn't belong in a WWE wrestling ring.
Yeah, but I think he's done a pretty good job. Did you see the frog splash that he hit the other day?
I don't know.
It was amazing.
I saw when he was up on the top rope and Xavier was like flipping him over or something, and it looked like it was in fucking slow motion because Aiden English doesn't know what he's doing.
You know, we all have our weak moments. But he hit an amazing frog slash, and for the, I will forgive
jumped,
all of the sins.
Aiden English jumped off the top rope and landed on his belly.
Well,
he did it
yes.
good. He
yes,
did that
he
good.
Did that really good. But it was also really nice because he gets over the top rope and then he like pointed up at the ceiling, and I was kind of like, that's sort of weird. And then he did the frog slash. Turns out he is married to Eddie Guerrero's daughter, and so it was a tribute to Eddie Guerrero because that was his like signature move. And
oh,
I
thought he was praising Rusev.
I think that was like how it kind of looked in kayfabe, and I was like, sweet. But then I like read about it, and I was like, oh, that's really nice. That's
that
really
is kind of
nice. It's a nice little tidbit.
I don't dislike Aiden English.
Yeah,
let me make
it
clear. It's not because I'm racist. No, Aiden English, I don't think he's a good wrestler, and he looks fucking weird in the ring. He's like 2 feet taller than everybody else. He's like
and about 40 pounds lighter.
Right, yeah. he's a tiny, giant man.
Yeah.
And he's so white. He's Sheamus level of pale.
Yep.
He just looks weird. He's got the bad hair.
Does have very bad hair.
He just does not look like a wrestler. And when he's wrestling, he doesn't do it super good.
I mean, it's very possible that I am looking at this through rose-tinted glasses because I just love the whole Rusev Day thing so much.
I think it's great. I think the gimmick is great. The bit with him and Rusev is great. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense that they are tag team partners, and it doesn't make sense to keep putting Aiden in the ring.
Yeah. What is absolutely criminal is the fact that Rusev was not in this tournament and that they're not using this as a way to make Rusev the United States champion because he is the fucking best thing going right now, and they need to... like ride this for as long as this wave will go. Like the Rusev Day thing is so over. Everybody loves it. I love it. All the people love it. Everybody's talking about it.
I love it.
It's delightful.
It's delicious.
I'm very curious to see what they're going to do with him because I thought for a minute that they were going to contest for the tag team champions, but it just seems like they're kind of moving into a straightforward Usev versus Usev.
Yeah.
Interesting. That was an interesting word choice.
That's Rusev and the Usos.
That's Rusev and the Usos. An interesting sort of three-person tag team. Anyway, the Usos versus Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin, who they just need to go ahead and give a name already because that's an awful large mouthful.
Or are they not American Alpha 2?
No. I mean, they are. But
is that the joke?
That's the joke. Like, I think the New Day and the Usos call them that, but it's not actually...
Why don't they just go with, like, American Omega or something?
That's a good idea. And then Kenny Omega can be the third member, and then he can destroy all the worlds. And they can have an epic feud with the New Day.
Hey, Chad Gable is so strong.
Yeah, he's a real good boy.
Like, 2 weeks ago, Chad Gable is, like, 4 feet tall.
Yeah.
And as wide as a house. And, like, 2 weeks ago, he was in some match.
Yep.
And he suplexed Rusev.
Yep.
He suplexed Big E.
Yep.
He just suplexed everybody who's twice his size.
Yeah.
And I was very impressed by the strength of Chad Gable.
It's super, super cool. He's an exceptionally talented wrestler. And I mean, Shelton Benjamin is too. I think that they're a great tag team. No discredit to them.
Yeah, they're very good.
But yeah, I mean, Chad Gable is someone that I've like had kind of watched a little bit more closely than others, I would say, since he's been in NXT. I think he's obviously exceptionally talented, and he has a very weird sort of charisma that I love. Like,
oh, yeah, he's super into it.
He's weird and, like, pretty funny. He used to do this thing where, and I really hope they bring this up because it was really funny, but he would, punctuate all of his promos by saying that he was ready, willing, and Gable. And then he made these like towels that said that on it. And he would be like cutting his promo and then he would kind of like reach behind him and then start saying it. And then he would just like pull up this towel and put it in front of the camera and just go, and Gable. It was delightful. Super funny. And like Him and Jason Jordan ended up getting pretty over as a tag team on NXT. They lost a lot of their momentum when they came up to the main roster, and obviously Jason Jordan's doing other stuff now, but like I was really worried that was going to mean that Chad Gable just like wasn't going to get anything, and it sounds like they're building towards them winning the championship at some point now.
I'm really hoping they still do the storyline where it turns out that Chad is actually Kurt's son.
Oh, man.
It was the other member of American Alpha, and then it becomes a cool rivalry between
Jason Jordan and Chad Gable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Sons of Angle.
That would be a pretty goofy but fun like lower card match to have at WrestleMania. Just be like,
I think it'd be good. They're both very strong boys.
Oh yeah, absolutely. With everything else that's going on at WrestleMania, like that's certainly not going to be like a main feud or anything like that. But it'd be
one I'd watch, though.
If at Royal Rumble, like they have a backstage segment where Chad Gable gets a paternity test back and he just like looks at it and just like stares into the camera stunned. And then like that, it goes on from there. I would love that. That'd be great. I doubt it, but that would be great.
I want to see that happen. Yeah. Hey, Kurt, you listening?
You listening to this?
WWE.
Go.
I'm writing it for you.
I'm really interested to see what this is a little premature, but just to see what the Royal Rumble card is going to look like, because obviously you have these two giant Royal Rumble matches, and then there's already a Universal title match, and there's now a WWE title match. And it's going to be interesting to see, like, what else is going on there. I'm a little surprised that Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are not going to be in the Royal Rumble because they're going to be in this championship match. So that's kind of a disappointment.
Weird.
Yeah. Like, that was, like, I was watching SmackDown on my lunch break today, and that was, like, my big, like, shocked moment of, like, I, like, looked around and no one was interested in this, and so I couldn't find anybody to talk to about it. But
thank you for not texting me.
Yeah, you're welcome. But I was like, yeah, this is crazy. I mean, I don't think I really would have picked them to win it, but at the same time, like...
Wait, did they announce that they're not in it, or just it's announced that they have this other match?
It's announced that they have this other match, and to me, that's sort of, like, a de facto way of saying that.
Sure, sure.
Because, like, I think that there have been instances where, like, people have wrestled the match and then later been in the Royal Rumble before, but, like, that's a main event match. Like, they can't do double duty on that kind of stuff. That'd be asking way too much of people. So, I don't think that's going to happen. Maybe. Who knows?
Royal Rumble
is full of surprises. But, yeah, I mean, like, I'm not sure. Like, it seems like the Usos, Gable and Benjamin feud is, like, gaining some real heat. So, I'm like, are they going to do a tag team title match on there? And then that's four more people that can't be in the match. Like, I don't know. It's going to be really interesting to see what they do.
They need 30 guys.
They need 30 guys. I think they do, too.
Especially if they're going to do, like, surprises and shit.
Oh, yeah. They'll do all kinds of surprises and stuff like that. We'll probably start to hear some rumors of that, and we can touch on that a little bit as we move forward. But
So on the 22nd is the Raw 25th anniversary thing. That's where...
Is that the day after the Royal Rumble, or is that a week before?
No, it's a week before.
Ooh, boy, that's exciting.
Isn't it rumored that Undertaker is going to make a return?
I think it's just confirmed that he's going to be there.
So, do you think any of these legends?
I hope he doesn't get in the Royal
Rumble. That's what I was going to say. Do you think any of these legends are going to be like, "Oh, also I'll see you next week."
Oh, I hope. I mean, I think with certain people it would be fine, but because like the Undertaker is such a big sort of chess piece and such a big deal still, like it's just immediately going to like the rumor train is going to just like take off at full speed with like, oh, who's he going to face at WrestleMania? And I just don't want to see another Undertaker match at WrestleMania. I think I'm ready for him to officially hang up the boots, hang up the hat, and call it a day, call it a career, call it a life. No, don't call it a life.
Thank you, Taker.
keep living.
Thanks, Taker.
But yeah, like I don't need to see that again. Every time I watch it, I cringe and I get very scared for his livelihood. So I hope he's
every
not.
Time you watch what? How often are you
an Undertaker match?
Oh God! How often are you watching Undertaker?
Once
match?
A year, exactly once a year.
Okay.
And it's a very miserable 20 minutes for me. I don't like it. Yeah, I mean, like I would not be surprised if like some legend declares that they're going to be a part of the Royal Rumble, but it's got to be someone that's like a small enough deal that you don't start thinking that they're going to win it because like. It just, I don't, I mean, I guess if they think they're going to win it and then they don't, that's fine. But, like, I don't know. I don't want to see, like, you know, The Rock enters the Royal Rumble and then he goes to feud with Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. Like,
it'll be Mick Foley.
Mick Foley would be pretty cool. I'd be into that. Because Mick Foley can also enter three times, which is great.
Which he's done before.
Yes, he has.
I haven't seen it. I've looked into that.
Would love to see it again. That's how they can solve this problem of, like, they can put all the tag teams and tag team matches and stuff like that, and they'll just have Mick Foley keep coming out to the ring in different costumes.
That'd be very good.
He'll introduce all sorts of new characters. He can come out as Santa.
I would enjoy that.
Yeah, it'd be great. Be a real delight.
Oh, shit. Do you think they're going to have the Colonel in this one? KFC Colonel? Oh,
man, that's a great idea. That's a great cross promotion. That's how Dolph Ziggler will make his return. He'll dress up as the Colonel.
Wow. Shawn Michaels, wasn't he like the one last year?
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Oh wait, he actually had a match in WrestleMania or like a promo thing, right?
I don't remember when it was, but yeah, he was probably involved in it in some way. They've like kind of.
I mean, as the Colonel though.
Yeah. I can't remember when it was, but I do remember that being a thing.
They do keep showing the poster for a stupid movie in the background of a lot of promos. Oof.
Yeah, I know.
They never make mention of it, but this movie came out like 6 months ago, and the poster's in the background.
Shawn Michaels is like a born again Christian, and so all of the movies and stuff he makes are just like very, very, very like heavy handed religious films.
What is the movie called? It's like Country Heart or some bullshit.
Yeah. Something like that. It's weird. I have no time for that. I have no interest in that. Well, yeah, the Royal Rumble card starting to get fleshed out, starting to see who's going to be in the Royal Rumble matches itself, and we should have some more answers about that in the coming weeks here.
I'm looking forward to it. I think the Royal Rumble is fun because it's like the epitome of the big dumb wrestling match that's enjoyable to watch, even if you don't watch wrestling or know who the characters are. It's like this is everything that's. This is everything that is wrestling.
For the Royal Rumble, I'm going to try and invite all my friends over to my house to watch this. I will ply them with food and alcohol, and I'm going to try my damnedest to sell people on wrestling at the Royal Rumble. It's going to be my big attempt, and if I can get people hooked on it enough to come watch WrestleMania with me, I will have achieved all of my life's goals. We'll end the podcast, we'll call it, we'll wrap it up and just say, because I've achieved everything I hope to do in wrestling, wrestling life.
It's been 38 episodes and you're still working on me, my dude. I do not see this going well for you.
Oh boy, maybe I need to think about my tactics a little bit better here. Yeah, I'm going to think on that. Why don't we go ahead and get on out of here for this week. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening once again. I want to give a thank you to Small Parks for letting us use their song Restless as our in and out music this week and every week. Really appreciate that. If you'd like to reach out, you can email us at blindtagcast@gmail.com. You can also visit us at our website, blindtagcast.com. You can see links to our Twitter page, to our Facebook page, and you can surely reach out to us there. You can also find a link to our iTunes page where you can subscribe, and you can also, you know, rate and review the show if you feel so inclined. That is going to do it for us this week. My name is Matt Raddick, and I have been your face.
My name is Ron Del Valano, and I've been your heel.
Thanks very much for listening, and hey, happy Rusev Day. 'Cause you're falling